Hi everyone, it's that time again, folks. It's the B&O show. You can just smell it in the air. I'm Paul O'Hara.
And I'm Des Butler. And today we're going to discuss art in the public domain and playing some good old rip-snorting tunes.
Radio Preston FM on 103.2. Radio Preston FM, the one for you.
It's the B&O show. God, that smells good.
Given the theme for today, it seems most appropriate to play our first tune, Art for Art's Sake by 10cc. This is probably the first song I can remember the lyrics ask questions about art. What it means, what's it for, and is everything for sale? In this recession that the country's facing, there seems to be more and more shops and businesses going bust. In an effort to fill some of the vacant shops and make the high street look busy again, there's a council initiative to get artists and organisations to use the shop windows to display their art. I have with me today artist Paul O'Hara, who has experience of utilising shops for art exhibitions. Hi Paul, and welcome to Preston FM.
Hi Des.
Could you please tell us about your exhibitions and how they came about?
In 1999, I finished a degree at the university here in Preston, the University of Central Lancs. So I'd set up an art group towards the end of 1999, sort of early 2000, called 515. And then we sat and we thought, well, how are we going to get our art out? Because that's always the difficulty. You know, at the end of the day, as with all things, there's this process you have to go through. So in order to get an exhibition at the, you know, at an art gallery in a town or a city or something like this, it may take years. And when you're an artist, so many ideas come so quickly, you want to make it and then share it with people. So then we came up with this idea of making art and actually putting it in vacant shops.
Did you receive any support from the council?
Well, we realised, seeing we didn't, nobody really knew who we were, and 515 had only just been formed. What happens is, in order to get at like a high street shop, we needed the backing of somebody or people, you know, who had some kudos. So I worked with Preston Borough Council. We worked together and contacted the owners of the buildings and stuff like that to see if we could actually utilise them as exhibition space. And they agreed. So yeah, we did get quite a bit of sort of support from the council initially. Our intent wasn't to become a business. Our intent was to make art, create art, and then share it with people.
Which were the other artists involved?
you know, and my friend, Mr. Bob Jenkins, was the man that I'd set 515 up with. I worked with him initially. It was him that came up with the idea as well for 515. But then we knew, because Bob had done a number of sort of art things throughout the years, so he knew a group of people. So then there was probably about 12, as it were, you'd call contemporary artists or sort of.
What was the feedback like and the reactions about the exhibitions?
Well, the first one we did in Miller Arcade, it was sort of, we didn't really have an opening. It was more of an exhibition stroke installation piece of work. And the beautiful thing was that it was on three sides of the building, seeing it was in Miller Arcade, was all glass. So what we did was almost like a fishbowl. It became like an installation or piece of work in itself. But when we moved to the corner where the old sort of Burton shop that we, which was a lot bigger and stuff like this, was right in the corner, brilliant, you know, predominant position in the town. It had an entrance on one side and an entrance on the other. It was perfect for people to just move in and out of it, almost transient-like, you know, and it was fantastic, though. The people absolutely loved it. You know, we had loads. I think there was about 8 books which we had, which from written from all, you know, people from all different levels of society and things like this, who were saying how wonderful it was, and they wished it would continue, and, you know, and it was, they couldn't wait for the next one, which was brilliant. So then the newspapers and stuff like this, they really picked up on it. And it was because it sort of, when we did Miller Arcade, there was probably about 20 artists involved. But then we moved to Burton's, it was a lot bigger. We then involved hundreds of artists, you know, and artists, and there was no hierarchy. So you'd have like a person who was quite renowned in Preston or the surrounding area as a painter of oils. But next to him was like, you know, some 73-year-old man had been to some pottery classes and made some vases or something. So there was this great eclectic mix, and it involved a number of people. So the feedback and how it was accepted by the people, as it were, or the general public, was fantastic.
It sounds excellent. I wish I'd seen it, actually.
Yeah.
I'd just like to say thank you very much, Mr. Harr.
And it's been a pleasure to be here. Thank you. It's the B&O show. God, that smells good. Our second tune is Judy Garland singing Follow the Yellow Brick Road. We're off to see the wizard. We have chosen this song from the film The Wizard of Oz. When it was made, it was long before the time of special effects and computer graphics. All the props, stages and costumes were handmade, and this process is very similar to public art. Both are art forms.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow, 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 follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick, follow the yellow brick, follow the yellow brick road. Because of the wonderful things he does. You're off to see the wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz.
Well, today we have with us the artist, Mr. Des Butler, and he's going to talk about a piece of work he made and bolted to a park bench on Winkley Square Gardens in Preston. It was on a Tuesday and right in the middle of all the solicitors and secretaries' lunch break. I'm sure someone would have choked on their hula hoops when they saw that one coming. So then, Des, tell us about the robots and Winkley Square.
Ah, the robots, yes. I first sort of made the robots when I was at uni doing my degree in time-based media. Basically, when I first made them, they were sort of post-apocalyptic robots. The world had been destroyed, and there they were having a conversation with each other.
Were they full-size? Like, full human-size?
Yeah, they were full sized. They didn't move. They just sat down. I used TVs for their heads. And the conversation was about how they were used by the humans to make cars and things like this. And one of them actually quite misses the humans now they no longer exist. And I just thought it's quite ironic.
And how do you think the people, sort of in the local media and or whatever sort of thing, did, what kind of a reaction did you get?
Well, there was an excellent photo in the LEP and...
Yes, I remember it. It was on the front page, wasn't it? With a young girl or something?
Yes, it was, yeah. She had a red coat on, which I thought was quite mysterious then as well. But yeah, I think they enjoyed it.
You say you actually... And you bolted them to a park bench?
I bolted them to a bench in Winkley Square. And I put some boots on them, my old boots, which I didn't use anymore. And I thought that people might, if they want to take the boots, they could take the boots. And also I did a mock-up issue of the big issue, just emphasising the plight of the robots and the fact that they were missing and they weren't employable and they had nowhere to live. Sort of researching and doing a bit about homeless people and the big issue that they sell.
Yeah.
And quite a lot of the content about the big issue is about missing people. And no, there's no trace of them, no one knows where they've gone, and I just found this quite mysterious. And it seemed to me that I'd actually finished using these robots as an art piece to come round with me, and I decided to use them to sort of emphasise the thing about missing people, but instead of using people, I used robots being missing.
The space that you used to exhibit your work, as it were, even though it was interventionist, was right in the middle of, like, the financial capital thing of, like, Preston, isn't it? Was that actually deliberate or...?
Well, yes, that was a deliberate ploy. Obviously, I think, well, sometimes people just go about their daily business and seem to neglect what's around them. And I think people get blinkered when they're in their own mindset. So it's just an issue I wanted to raise.
In a way, what you're doing is, unlike a lot of the public art, you're creating art with respect to, like, communicating something about social issues and stuff.
I always make art that's important to me. And I try to make it issue-based because issues are important to me, and I think that's one of the best ways to communicate what you're trying to say.
So it's like art with, like, some responsibility, not just to the artists or themselves, but like art that has responsibility with others and concern for others.
Indeed, art is actually saying something about
social conscience or something,
and not saying anything about me.
Brilliant. That's fantastic, Des. Thank you very much for that. That's brilliant.
Okay, my pleasure. It's the B&O show. It stinks.
Well, thanks for listening, and we hope we didn't smell too bad. See you next week, same time, same place, same smell.
To play us out, we have Grinder Man with a romantic ballad entitled Go Tell the Women.
Cheerio.
Done our thing, we have evolved. We're up on our hind legs, the problem solved. We are artists, we are mathematicians. Some of us hold extremely high positions. But we are tired, we're hardly breathing, and we're free. Go tell the women that we're leaving. We're sick and tired of all this self-serving grieving. All we wanted was a little consensual in the afternoon and maybe a bit more in the evening. We are scientists. We do genetics. We leave religion to the psychos and fanatics. But we are tired. We got nothing to believe in. we are lost. Go tell the women that we're leaving.